This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you with a gracious heart to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. My guest today, Reverend Julie McDonald, I swear I look at her picture and she could be my sister. And I know she's hanging out in the mountains right now, lucky her, which is definitely where I'd be if I weren't looking out at the woods here in Michigan. Anyway, my guest, Reverend Julie McDonald, it took her almost 8 years, from what I read, to complete her book, The Evolution of the Spirit of Mankind with the 82nd Regime of Lightworkers. And over the next 28 minutes or so, Reverend Julie and I are going to give you insight into her work, the book, and who the 82nd Regimen of, I guess it's Regime of Lightworkers are. And with that said, I welcome you to Soulful Living, Julie.
Thank you so much, Terry. It's just wonderful to be here, and you have a wonderful show, and I'm honored to be a part of it today.
Well, thank you. And, you know, usually I ask my guests ahead of time how they prefer to be addressed. And do you go by Reverend Julie or just Julie?
No, I don't. Yeah, no. the Reverend is more of a personal vow that I took. I was ordained to as my sort of sealing statement to myself that I was here on a journey to minister to people. And so, yeah, I generally don't use it at all and often don't know people are speaking to me when they say Reverend.
Well, you know, I said you could be my sister, and that's kind of how I feel too. You know, when I do wedding blessings and things like that, and people will say, well, this is Reverend Terry, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, where's she at?
Right.
Exactly. Okay, so let's give the listeners a little history about you before we start talking about your latest work. You are a psychic medium, and from what I read, you basically showed up this way since you were a child, for as long as you can remember.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I often talk about that I didn't realize that everyone didn't show up this way. You know, that it was just so present and prevalent in there in my life that from the time I was very small and knowing things that would happen and having insight into people and, you know, knowing we all have it, right? We all know intrinsically when we're small who we can trust. You know, you watch children and they'll know, you know, they always say, like, watch children or animals, they know who the people are, they're honest and
right
and straightforward. And, you know, yeah, so I don't really think I started out any differently than any other child.
And so when did you really start to make this your life's work?
I was about 25 when I didn't have much of a choice. Everything started really flashing in for quite some time, Terry. Going through my teens and young adulthood, I blocked it out. I tried to get away from it. Smirnoff vodka helped an awful lot with that.
Yeah, been there.
and then, you know, it just started almost like a waterfall coming in when I started working actually as a therapist in addictions treatment. And I would just start, you know, I just started getting these downloads about people. I didn't call them that at the time. You know, all of this different stuff started happening. I thought I was going crazy. And I sought out some support with it and to try to understand it a little better and to not feel so alone. And in the course of that, as I'm sure you know, all of that was just me thinking I was going crazy. It was really the dangling carrot to lure me in deeper. and then eventually it just became surrender, right? Mm-hmm. Because what else do you do?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What else do you do? And I feel that, you know, I've followed a similar path where, you know, knew that these things were happening with me and, kind of tried to drink my way to oblivion. And I find that really interesting that more and more people that I speak with did turn to drugs and alcohol for a period of time. And I often wonder, you know, were we trying to escape what was there, or were we just trying to find more answers that obviously we weren't going to get that way, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, Abraham Twersky, who was a physician, wrote a whole book about that called Thirsting for Wholeness. Mm. And it's all about those people who are more deeply sensitive to the spiritual world around them very often do wind up sort of looking to the bottle or other substances as their way of, you know, being able to breathe at first. And of course, mm-hmm. as we both know, after a while, it doesn't work so well.
You're right. Yeah, there comes a time when you got to run away from that too, right?
Yeah.
And I guess I always tell people it was time to face the angels and stop chasing my demons, right?
Absolutely.
And embracing that. So, so you began 8 years ago, receiving guidance and channeling. First of all, let's give the listeners kind of your insight on what channeling is.
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, and that's for me, there's a lot of people when they say channeling, there's different meanings of it. But when I'm speaking of channeling, I'm not talking about when I'm working as a medium, looking at things or connecting with someone's guides or higher self, or even communicating with departed loved ones. I am a trance channel, which means that I go into a trance type of state. I go into a deep meditation. I am not one of those talented channels that can walk around with my eyes open. It's just too much for me to mm-hmm. handle. So I sit down, I close my eyes, and spirit, can't really say spirit speaks directly through me, but the way that they have explained it to me actually is that they infuse my brain with their thought forms. And in doing so, and in connecting as deeply as they do, there are times when perhaps some of their personalities that they had here on Earth, or just even a personality that's expressive of the type of frequency that these beings are, will take shape or form within me. So my voice might change, mm-hmm. my speech patterns might change, there might be a hint of some accent. So it's more direct voice, I guess. I honestly don't know how I describe channeling. Mm-hmm. It just happens.
Well, I think you did a fabulous job there of giving your interpretation of what's going on when you're bringing in this information, for lack of a better, you know, or these sources. You did a great job of, and I love that that you defined it as a trans channel, that you go into a trance and then and the channeling happens. And so 8 years ago or so, you began working with the 82nd regime of lightworkers and collaborated, I like that word, collaborated, on the evolution of the spirit of mankind. Who are the 82nd regime of lightworkers?
You know, Terry, I still ask them that almost every day because I often speak about their title, their self-dubbed title that, quite frankly, I really had difficulty swallowing at first because it just sounded so different, you know, mm-hmm. so like what is that? Look, so my understanding of who they are, which of course is limited in my own humanness and my own capacity to understand things with my, as they like to say, my very small human brain. But they are a group consciousness or a collective. They consider themselves to be a piece or a part of what they call a larger collective of the Legion of Light, and that they have contracted in to bring and share messages and wisdom from the other side and from this Legion of Light via the means of direct communication. So I believe that this collective is really one great big source of information that, again, at times will split off. Currently, at least with the book, they use more or less four different personas. And then also those personas combined with, I believe, other personas make that 82nd regime. And you know, I always see them like a bubble somewhere out in the ethers, out of all of the many different bubbles that are out there of information and wisdom that we get, sometimes via direct communication, sometimes through energy work that we're doing, or through inspiration, or, you know, within or through the ancestral realms, or the many different, you know, rays of consciousness and all of that, that they're just one little, they're one department. It's like, you know, shoes at Macy's or something. So they're one little section of that. And they happen to be those that, according to them, have contracted not only with me, but I'm one of the people that they've contracted with in this lifetime to deliver certain information and remind us whenceforth we came.
Well, it's funny because when I received the book and I saw the 82nd regime of the lightworkers, I immediately thought of my family, the men in my family that were in the military.
Yes.
and were in the 82nd Airborne. And so I got this vision of, like, I want to say angelic souls, you know, angelic souls coming in to really help guide people, as you said, through the evolution, you know, what's happening next, you know, shifting our consciousness, kind of like the 82nd Airborne, you know, coming in to help us, help us shift our consciousness and maybe raise our vibration some. And, you know, I read about the four spirits that were helping, and I found it really cool. Like, you had, it seemed like two females and maybe two males, you know, feminine and masculine presence. And they channeled that through you and Eve's, I'm guessing, you know, like your comrade, she kind of transcribed, but also asked questions.
Yes, that's actually he.
Eve
Nezon. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes. And yeah, he would ask the questions and then would record the information. And he's a great data recording person. And then actually myself and another assistant, Patty Fossen, who's in a couple of the sessions in the book, we then typed out the recordings and then edited, and which hence the 8 years time. It wasn't so much how long the 82nd regime took. It was me dragging my feet sometimes. And also it was Terry. It was so much work to try to take spoken word from spirit and stay true to the integrity of that word and that message. And yet be able to put it in book form where when someone reads it, not only is the essence still there, but the vibrational frequency of the message.
Yeah, that just gave me chills from head to toe. So when you would be in the trance state and you would receive the information, when you came out, would you remember what you heard? Or
No, not a thing. It's sort of like a dream. So there may be times when I come out and after I came out, I might all of a sudden have this memory of a vision in my head. And I might say, oh, I felt like I was standing in a bunch of trees. Mm-hmm. And then Eve or Patty might say, oh, well, they were talking about the rootedness of, you know. So when they would begin telling me about what happened, then I might have visuals that were reminding me of that. And then I would have a sense. But in terms of if I were to wait, say 15 or 20 minutes after a session and no one mentioned anything, I wouldn't know a word or even a concept that was addressed.
Wow. Well, thank God somebody was with you that was, you know, compiling the information and to help you really transcribe it. So you talked about they lived in the a legion of light. What does that mean?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Good answer.
Take these things and say, okay. You know, I don't know. You know, the Legion of Light, to me, it's only my own understanding or translation would be, you know, a legion is a gathering. It's a group. It's, you know, so that they're, again, the way they've explained it to me is that that they are, the Legion of Light would be the greater part, right? The larger cosmic collective consciousness of, you know, sages, gurus, angelic beings, teachers, ascended masters, all of that. And I'll be honest with you. I always hesitate to say that because, in part, I think because they personally don't like titles for themselves. because they don't want us to become attached to an idea of them. And, you know, so I don't like to get into the sort of guesswork, partly probably because of my own just, well, you know, gee, I don't know if it could be anyone that high up. Do you know what I mean? There's some of my own acceptance of my role in this, and sometimes a question of worthiness, right?
Yes. Well, you are worthy. You are worthy and empowered. And the book, one of the things that I loved that I kept reading over and over again was, this is not about a departure from who we are, but a return. And I love that defined over and over again, examples are shared on how we can return to that, to the wholeness of who we really are. Listeners, again, I'm talking with Julie McDonald. Julie is a practice medium. Were you a psychotherapist as well?
Well, not a psychotherapist. I was an addictions counselor. I was a therapist, but not a psychotherapist.
Gotcha. And she, so Julie has two of her own radio shows and has been guests on numerous shows around the country. You can visit her website. All of her information is here on the Soulful Living page at Empower Radio. And one question I always like to get a handle on, especially from mediums, is what would you say is the difference between a psychic and a psychic medium?
I love that question because I never know the answer to that either. I mean, I can give you the pat answer, right? Mm-hmm. The pat answer would be that someone who is a psychic is working with perhaps the energy or vibration around something and is able to use their clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, whatever heightened senses they have to read the energy of a person or an object, and that just comes from their own sort of intuition or tuning in. Mm-hmm. And that a medium, on the other hand, would be someone who is a medium would be defined as someone who is the go-between, right? That which is in between. Mm-hmm. So a medium would be one who accesses information from the world of spirit, whether it is, you know, again, this is where I differ sometimes with people. So whether it is a ancestral one, a loved one, our spirit guides, or I like to include someone's higher self as well. Mm-hmm. But if you were to really ask me, I don't know the difference. When I use psychic medium because some people are scared of just mediums or they have the idea that it's only a departed loved one. So I use both of that in there. But frankly, I just talk to spirit all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that the way it works, really? And the beauty of it is that you're just talking to spirit. So when you talk about higher self, could it be the higher self of somebody that's actually living that comes in?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So for instance, if I were reading for you, Terry, one of the things that I would do prior to trying to access the information about you that you're seeking is to let your high, I will announce to your higher self also, not just your guides, but your higher self, like, look, she's looking for some direction, you know, whatever you can offer to me to help her remember or to help her negotiate this difficulty or anything like that. Yeah. And I've got to be honest, Terry, I don't always even know. You know what I mean? I don't always stop to take the time to say, oh, is this her guide? Is this her higher self? Is this, right. As long as it's flowing and you're saying, yes, got it. Okay. Yes, I understand. It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not to me anyway.
Well, it's interesting because last night as I was falling asleep, a spirit came in and my ego is saying, well, wait a minute, dude, you're alive still. What are you even doing here? You know, so I always have to ask so that the listeners get a feel for, yeah, you know, it's really that it's the higher self. It's the spirit. It's the energy of an essence of who these people are. And they don't necessarily have had to have crossed over already. So, okay, let's zip back to the book here. Again, we're talking about the evolution of the spirit of mankind and the 82nd regime of lightworkers. In the book, you talk about an oversoul. What is an oversoul?
Again, just let me qualify. Every answer I give here to you is just going to be based on my understanding that the 82nd has shared with me, and again, their understanding, I'm sure, is much broader than mine. But from my understanding, an oversoul would be that which, if we were to imagine a marionette, right, like a puppeteer, and the oversoul is the puppeteer itself, and that we have, let's say, your identity is Terry, right, is on the string below the oversoul. And there would be other identities of you as well, perhaps in parallel places or lives, perhaps in what we see sometimes as past or future lifetimes, that there's all of these little pieces or parts of your oversoul, that have incarnated into different lands, different places. The oversoul will not necessarily completely take over you or the puppet part of you, but it works to remind, to negotiate. The oversoul itself is that which may have the larger contract or plan set out before you, that when you come in as Terry, you say, okay, look, I'm going to take this part of it here and try to get to that learning or that evolution of my spirit itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. As I was reading the book, I was thinking it's kind of like, and this is, you know, meant to be with the utmost respect. But it's kind of like, I'm thinking, okay, it's kind of like I have a split personality and this is the top dog. Right?
Yes.
That's kind of, as I'm reading it, that's what I was thinking of. You know, it's kind of like, okay, I have a split personality. They're the top dog and all my other personalities are all over the map, whatever that might look like. So the book is broken down into chapters, and I literally had to stop because I felt like each chapter in and of itself could be a workshop. I don't know what your intention is for the future of this work, but, and I'll start with just the principle of karma, because that it was a chapter that really spoke to me. It addressed Adolf Hitler and also different reasons why people come into the planet. Can you explain a little bit about what your understanding of the principle of karma is based upon your channeling?
Yeah, sure. And just so you know, the group that I do work with is, I know they're standing in the corner chuckling, as you said, hey, they could all be broken into workshop, because, you know, they've been saying that to me for a while, and as usual, I'm a little resistant sometimes.
Like, well, just don't let it take 8 years, okay?
Let us just use her for a moment to remind you. So, you know, karma, you know, very often, Terry, we're taught that karma, you know, we come at karma sometimes from that very Western Judeo-Christian point of view of punishment and reward. Mm-hmm. And in the book, they talk about karma really just being what we are looking to do. And so what we experience is based on that. And that karma is not about, oh, well, you pissed me off. So I hope I can say that on your show. Mm-hmm. So one day karma will get you. Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, that person that pissed you off may have been, you know, that being pissed off may bring you to a new place of learning or experience of yourself that in fact may have done favorably for you. Mm-hmm. So it may not be that they get something negative from it. It could be that they get nothing from it except the completion. It could be that they get something more from it. But that karma is really about us just walking through and working out what we've come to work out in this lifetime. And again, contracted, right, mm-hmm. with the other people in our lives. So karma is not good or bad. It's not right or wrong. It just is what it is. And it's very closely aligned in some ways, I think, to what the Buddhists refer to as dharma, mm-hmm. which is that which we have come to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that was a great explanation. That's kind of how I have perceived karma over the years. I've never been one that followed that tag, you know, karma is a B-I-T, right? So I really appreciated that chapter. Okay, well, listeners, I'm chatting with Julie McDonald. And Julie, we are getting down to the wire here. We only have about 2 minutes left. And real quick, I want to remind the listeners that you can find all of Julie's information on the Soulful Living page here at Empower Radio. All of her websites, her Facebook, anything you need will be there. And, you know, we talked about workshops. And so what do you have coming up?
Well, I'm actually currently I have a few local things going on that are small, but I'll be doing some message circles and that will be on my Facebook page. But coming in April, I'll be returning to the Chicago, Illinois area. I'll be there from April 14th through roughly May 1st, although I'm still working on some other potential gatherings where I'll be doing private readings, some message circles. We're hoping to get a live channeling session going and also some book signings and talks about the book. So I'll be in the West suburbs in Crystal Lake, McHenry, Richmond. And also I'm working on something now to get a couple of things going in downtown Chicago during that time as well.
Sounds awesome.
And apparently working on some new workshops.
Okay, good. And if you want to stop in Michigan, let's chat after.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Julie, I love for my guests to leave the listeners with a thought that they can take out into the day to, you know, elevate their soul, raise their vibration a little bit. What would that thought be for you?
I think that thought would be that although as we're talking, Terry, about, you know, what I've done with spirit and their communication with me is that every single one of us out there is absolutely positively surrounded by these higher vibrations, this guidance and this love. And all we need to do is just take 30 seconds, one moment to just breathe that in. And you can feel that love, that guidance and that wisdom surround you and remind you of your own divinity.
That was beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Julie. I give you a deep bow.
And thank you right back at you, Terry. It was wonderful to be here. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you.